afternoon, good evening, and good morning to those across the pond and around the world. You are listening to Earth Changes TV Radio Hour. My name is Mitch Batras, and I am your host. You have reached the number one news source for space weather and Earth science. Join us as we explore the latest breaking news, which in fact affects us all. We are live every Tuesday and Thursday from 9 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. You will hear the latest breaking news and research from the top minds in their respective fields. We will hear from solar and astrophysicists, seismologists, geologists, paleontologists, climatologists, and the list goes on and on. On Earth Changes Media Radio Hour, we explore the recent and historical records spanning thousands and even millions of years. We also invite the brightest minds in the study of ancient texts and civilizations. We will hear from Mayan and Hopi elders who tell us of prophecy and their historical observations, which have been passed down from generation to generation, often telling us with stunning accuracy of today's times. Never before have the two worlds of science and ancient texts joined together with such unity and precision, outlining a pathway of discovery. Well, folks, welcome to this live broadcast. Here we are on July 13th. And what a summer it's been. However, living up here in Seattle, you would wonder what happened to global warming over here. Actually, of course, there truly is a warming trend. We are in a warming trend, which is very different than that made-up name global warming. But living in the tempered Seattle weather, sometimes you wonder, because here we are in the middle of July with 65 degree temperature, that'd be about 17 degrees or 15 degrees Celsius, and you typically wouldn't think of that kind of weather in July, but then again, this is the Northwest, and I have lived here long enough to see its rapid cycles, rapid of course meaning a decade or so. And, you know, that's just a part of how this is. So maybe, if we're lucky here in the Northwest, we'll have what they call an Indian summer, which means it could go into September and October, which would really be nice. All right, let's take a... oh, by the way, folks, in just a few minutes here, we're going to be going live to Sweden. My guest tonight, Carl Johan Kalleman, is going to be coming on. And I've been looking forward to this all week. One, because Carl's one of my favorite guests, and two, the subject matter itself, which is one of my favorite subjects, and that is about these energy fields. As you have been witnessing through my newsletters, I've been writing, and of course my guests, the guests that I've been having on, and publishing articles through scientific journals that they have written and published, the scientists that I've had on the show. And they're talking about these new energy fields and how energy fields are being used now. And as I was starting to take a closer look at this, I could really see that the energy fields that they're describing today, much having to do with gamma ray burst, galactic cosmic rays, and of course coronal mass ejections and solar flares, charged particles in general, new understanding of black holes and dark matter. And then I take a look at ancient text and some of the descriptions that they're talking about. One of the latest reports that came from the University of Chicago? University of Illinois. Yeah, University of Illinois. Talking about the discovery of a fourth dimension, and how they're finding this fourth dimension is through the use of gamma ray bursts, and being able to use the gamma ray burst kind of as a radar screen, which helps them to identify and find, to give form to what they're describing as a fourth dimension. Now that to me is just incredible, because not only did our Mayan elders speak of what I would say is the description of a fourth dimension, of another existence, many, if not most, perhaps if I had even a closer look, probably all of our ancestors said the same thing. And it's just now that science is catching up to history, is one way I would describe it. Carl Johan Kalman is one, in my opinion, who was way ahead of the curve. I'm going to ask when I bring him on here in just a minute, you know, what is it that drove him or pulled him to the study of Mayan culture in particular, but ancient texts, ancient civilization as a whole, ancient wisdom as a whole. And maybe Carl also took note of not only of what was written applied in the past, but is applying today. And if you look at the Mayan calendar, especially in the way of how people like Carl understand the Mayan calendar, which to me is very difficult, they talk about these energy shifts. Matter of fact, that's the exact word. And how predictable it is, how cyclical it is. And then we have the several scientists that I brought on recently. I think five in the last 2 months, if not more, talking about these energy fields in the study, as I outlined, of cosmic ray bursts, galactic cosmic rays, energy. What we're talking about are energy waves. They're different types, different speeds, forms of this energy. Some call it, one frequency is called a gamma ray burst. Another frequency is called a galactic cosmic ray. Another frequency, is called a coronal mass ejection. And then we have what's been described as brain world theory. And that's not the brain as in our head. The brain as in membrane, a membrane, B-R-A-N-E, membrane. And that's exactly how they described it. If you can imagine a web of a tissue, much as the tissue within us. Now, how about that for a connection? this tissue, if you will, a membrane, we've all seen the cell, right, in multiple cells. The space in between the cells is membrane, cellular membrane. It's what connects all things. Well, that's exactly how they're describing this fourth dimension. Isn't that fascinating? Now, in other news, of course, the space shuttle, really neat stuff about that. And, of course, severe storms all around, many of which, of course, fit the 72-hour window, as we had an M-class flare last week. And within 72 hours, there they were, the floods and, quote, freak storms. But I guess what's in the news most today... And I won't go into that. That's a whole nother show and a whole nother venue. And that, of course, is the Middle East war that's breaking. I mean, this is big stuff, folks. Israel is now into Lebanon, and they've already bombed the runway. I don't think we're going to see an 8-day war. This is going to get kind of nasty. How this is going to play, I don't know. But I don't want to... Just one last thing, and let's get Carl on. Remember, Carl, one prediction that was made about India and Pakistan? That there would be a single exchange nuclear strike between Pakistan and India. Well, what's happened recently certainly points in that direction, doesn't it? Let's hope that doesn't happen. And if it did happen, let's truly hope that it is a single strike, single exchange, one missile each, and not go beyond that. I don't know. Okay, let's bring Carl in. Very quick introduction. Many of you have been listening to him. Again, one of my favorite. Carl Johan Kalman, author of The Mayan Calendar and one of the world's best-known experts on Mayan culture. What is in store for us in the year 2006 and beyond? In the Mayan view, a new energy is being pulsed out of the core of the universe. What they called Hunabaku, and I hope I got that right, we'll ask Carl. Every day and living the Mayan calendar is about a living Mayan calendar, by the way, kind of like a breathing live Mayan calendar, is about being in resonance with these daily energies of time. Such resonance benefits each and every one of us, and we do not need any intermediary gurus for establishing direct contact to attain this guidance. Yet the knowledge of the rhythms inherent in time and rhythms of the divine archetypes emitted by the Hunabaku, and I'll ask Carl again, that influence our consciousness need to be kept by daykeepers who serve the larger community. Now, that's all a quote from Carl Johan Kalman. So let's bring him on now, live from Sweden. Carl, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Like always, it's a pleasure to have you on. And I'm just going to just let you take over from here. You probably heard in the monologue, I'm talking about these energies, many of the scientific guests that I've had on.
Yep.
And in my opinion, mirrors what our ancestors have been telling us all along. What do you say?
Well, we're using the term energy field in many different contexts today, and I think we're still far, you know, from a scientific point of view. I think we're still far from really distinguishing between the different kinds of energy fields that are involved. When I talk about energy fields and more specifically about energy shifts, I speak about a field of consciousness, you might say. And this is something that certain traditional scientists would now start to look into, and it's becoming more and more of an acknowledged reality. But this energy field is interwoven with many other kinds of more physically typed energy fields. But today there is so much coming out about energy fields that it's very hard, I think, to really separate and distinguish the what these kind of energy fields are. When it comes to the type of energy fields that the Mayan calendar describes, we're talking about consciousness fields. And the study of these are, like the objective study of these, are quite difficult in a sense, because it involves our own consciousness. We are very clearly part of what is being studied. I would say that we see the effects of these the consciousness fields and how they change and how they bring and how these energy fields change. We see these effects quite clearly when we study history, but we don't really know what they are. We seem to know a little bit about how they function, but we don't really know what they are, and we don't really know how to see how they relate to the other types of what shall I say, more physical energy fields that the scientists that you have been interviewing in recent times that they are talking about. So it's still, I would say that there is still some significant theoretical modeling that needs to be done before we can have a coherent view of what these different fields mean to our life and life on this planet.
Yes, Carl, I couldn't agree more. Folks, this is one of the reasons I love having Carl on. Because so often he can frame a stream of consciousness, a thought, so much better than I can. And I agree with him totally. I think we're at the very beginnings of these new understandings of these energy fields. I do believe there are differences. I do believe there's similarities. But we are very early into assimilating what people like Carl have derived from the text itself and the calendar, for example, and the Egyptian. I mean, you know, the Egyptians wrote quite a bit about. I'm not sure who didn't, including the biblical, the Bible, talking about these shifts of consciousness. The Bible frames it in terms of heaven, you know, heaven on earth, and these kinds of deals, where other spiritual disciplines use other terms. But I think in some ways it's speaking a very similar language. So Carl, if there was a roadmap, a barometer, if you will, some type of scale, say like a scale from 1 to 10, with 10 having that final connection, if you will, what stage do you think we are at in our new understandings of energy fields related to the way our ancestors described it?
I think that if I wouldn't want to come up with a guess really, because I can't really grasp what the ancestor really knew, so to speak. They had a different kind of questions, we are asking new questions that they didn't ask. Many people now would ask questions: how do these consciousness fields relate to the more astronomical fields, the cosmological fields, in a physical sense? And I wonder if they would ask that question in the ancient times. I could not say really where we are. I have no idea. I just think I don't have the big the complete picture myself, and I'm focusing more specifically on one kind of a field, the one that seems to evolve human consciousness.
Okay, no, I understand perfectly. Believe me, Carl, that is what most... What you're saying now is almost exactly what my scientific colleagues and guests would say. In the two worlds, my job, if you will, my chosen path, is to bring these two fields of consciousness together. And coming from my perspective, it's a very difficult task. However, I must say that more recently, I can say that the mainstream scientists are becoming much more comfortable in acknowledging, and I have them on air, I have them on recording from NASA, NOAA, the European Space Agency, the Royal Observatory, on record as saying how they have used ancient text, ancient knowledge, as part of their formulas today.
Yeah.
I think that is extremely exciting. Now, five years ago, they wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole.
No. So there seems to be some kind of a shift in the academic community and what is allowed and not allowed. I would agree on that, yes.
Let me read just a very short few sentences of something I wrote, and let me know what you think. When you take a closer look at what the scientific team, and I'm talking about Duke University, Dr. Petters, and Dr. Keaton from Rutgers University, I think you will find a startling resemblance to what our ancestors described in documents, petroglyphs, hieroglyphs, and so forth. The Mayans tell us of the end of one world, the beginning of another. The Hopis tell us of the end of the fourth world, the beginning of the fifth. The Bible tells us of heaven, that the heavens will open, and one day there will be heaven on earth. Several temples, such as the great Egyptian pyramids, facility in Newgrange, Stonehenge, Chaco Canyon, built these what they're mostly calling burial tombs, but I wonder if it wasn't something more to facilitate another dimension or existence. And then we have our mainstream people coming on and telling us about a fourth dimension and how they're finding this. Now here's the connection, Carl, at least in part. I know the Native Americans here, more specifically in the United States, they have sacred ceremonies. One of their sacred ceremonies is known as the Sun Dance. Part of the Sun Dance is about a vision quest. Part of the vision quest is about going into another dimension. And of course, this is still happening today. It's also happening with many of the some of the tribes in Brazil, and of course our Mayans and others. Do you think when they describe these sacred journeys into this other realm, this vision quest? What do you believe them to mean by these vision these experiences they have?
What I mean that they could you repeat the question, please?
Yeah, these sacred ceremonies.
Yeah.
Such as the Mayan sacred fire ceremony, the Sun Dance, the Vision Quest. These are some of the English names they give to these sacred ceremonies.
Yeah.
What do you believe they're experiencing? What do you think that?
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I believe they are just in contact with what you might say an underlying energy field that exists throughout the cosmos. I think that's what the ceremony somehow decouple us from our normal existence, and it does so by putting us in contact with the underlying intelligence and the underlying structure of the cosmos, and that underlying structure, I believe, is not our physical energy fields, but it's an invisible field created by the structure that they would call the world tree, which is like the central, you might say that it's the central spiritual computer of the universe, or the spiritual organizing principle, creative principle of the universe. But accessing this underlying intelligence or the cosmos, yeah, you could call that, of course, entering another dimension, entering another field, putting yourself in a contact with another field, and by doing so, you would get new visions that would pertain to your life's quest and your life's purpose. So that's how I would interpret the meaning of these kind of ceremonies.
Yes, I absolutely. And again, I can see the similarities and yet some differences. And I'm new at this as well, Carl, as you know. So this is kind of one method of my research is to kind of flesh things out, kind of throw some things out there and see what kind of connects and see what, highlight differences, but also highlight some possible connections. Now I'm looking at your diagram here, Carl, and I think this is going to take us back over to the energies that you have written about and are more familiar with. And I'm, the one specifically I'm looking at is a diagram of the galactic underworld, its main energy shifts, and its relations relationship to the Zolkin rounds.
They are there. Yes. Yeah.
Tell us what you mean by the words "its main energy shifts." What does that mean?
Well, it seems that this consciousness field that is underlying our physical existence. It seems like this consciousness field is then what shamans would access in ceremonies and so forth. It seems that that consciousness field is somehow undergoing shifts. It's not just a constant. And in fact, it is shifting, and these shifts then would change the paths, the consciousness, or and the life directions of those people that are in, attuned to it. And so then this whole galactic underworld scheme that I have there is meant to pinpoint when the most significant changes happens in this underlying field, and in order for us to be able to surf on the kind of waves that it is creating in the physical manifest reality. Now this is kind of it's really, you know, going back to your original question of how the energy fields of modern science, what is its nature.
Yes.
And this energy field then, it is in a very significant regard kind of distinct and different from most of the energy fields that science, physical science, operates with. And what that is that, you know, if you look at the field of gravitation or electromagnetism, you basically, these fields do not undergo sort of a time-wise defined change or transformation in this particular sense. They simply exist there out in the cosmos. But the energy fields that I'm talking about that are influencing our consciousness, they tend to alter, they tend to shift with a predetermined periodicity. And that is a very significant thing that makes them different from most of the energy fields.
Yes, Carl, but hold it right there. Hold it right there. But isn't it possible? Because I know you believe in the science of cycles as well. That's exactly what you're saying. But
yes.
Could it not be tied to celestial cyclical placement or events? In other words, the same clock that galactic cosmic rays and gamma ray bursts and magnetic fields run on, meaning the maximums and minimums, if you will, could that not correlate with the rhythm of this energy you're speaking of?
Well, it could, and I think, you know, all of these energy fields are related to some degree. Yeah, I'm not excluding that. It's just that the periodicity has not been shown to be that. It could. They may be related, but I'm still thinking that there is sort of a basic consciousness field that undergoes change, and then the other physical fields will sort of adapt to that. That's sort of a secondary change that happens in the universe, and the primary change is happening on this level of consciousness fields.
I follow you. This is so exciting to me. As you know, Carl, I've turned my attention to how charged particles, geomagnetic storms in particular, not only affect the Earth in the way of Earth-changing events, but how it affects us. One of the new applications that are out there is called TMS, which stands for transcranial magnetic stimulation. And what it does is it actually develops through this mechanism a magnetic field, and you place it right over the cranial. My conjecture is this. Is it possible, Carl, that we're getting ready to go through some extreme magnetic storms because we're coming into the maximum of we're just beginning to climb into the maximum of cycle 24, which has been predicted by NASA even to be 50% stronger than the one we just left. My thought is this, that these magnetic storms are going to pound our magnetic field. It's going to weaken. And there are other studies that suggest that the Earth's vibration is increasing, the magnetic field is decreasing. Could that usher in energy fields that could help facilitate our transition, perhaps even on a DNA cellular level?
Well, I couldn't tell. There are too many unknowns in this for me. I think that there is such a tremendously clear record when it comes to the past of how the Mayan calendar has described the changes in life that it's I don't necessarily see the need for some further fields that need to be introduced to in order to bring the evolution of consciousness about.
Okay, hold it right there, Carl. We're at the bottom of the hour, folks. When we come back, I'm going to ask Carl that very question that just as he's outlining. As I understand it, according to the Mayan calendar, we're in this time, I don't know how to describe it, of adjustment, a time of kind of at a crossroads where we can either stay in our integrity or we can go the other road of sameness, if you will, and that some real personal challenges could occur through this time. So when we come back, I'm going to ask him about that, and you know, what is it that perhaps ushers in this the Mayan calendar rhythm, and we'll explore some more. Stand by, we'll be right back with Carl Johan Kallman. Stand by. Welcome back to the show, folks. I'm cutting that commercial break just a little short because I'm as anxious to get back to Carl as I know you are as well. So I'm going to go directly to Carl's website, and this is some material that he has written about. And let's see if there's some more correlations to the accuracy of the Mayan calendar, which is absolutely incredible. And is there any connection to the Mayan calendar and... Well, this is the big unknown. I wanted to say in celestial events, but we know so little about celestial. I'll go as far as to say our Mayan brothers and sisters knew much more about our celestial rhythms than we do, even today with the SOHO and the Hubble and all the instruments that we have. I think they had something that, that transpired beyond technology. What exactly that is, I don't know, but I have a feeling that we have it within us as well. Carl, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Okay, folks, here we go. For those of you just tuning in, you're listening to a live interview. Here we are on July 13th with Carl Johan Kalleman, live from Sweden, as a matter of fact. Carl has written many books, and just some of the absolute best ever. And one of the things I want to do while I'm thinking about it is direct you to Carl's site where you can get all the information. And it's Kalleman.com. Let me spell it for you. It's www.kalleman.com. And there you can get his articles. You can learn more about his books, one of which is the Solving the Greatest Mystery of Our Time, The Mayan Calendar, also, of course, The Mayan Calendar and the Transformation of Consciousness. He's been extremely active. He's also been, he was at a really huge and significant conference in India. I promise I'm going to leave a little bit of time for that because I do want to hear about his experience there for sure. Okay, let me go back to, there it is. This is what Carl, okay, this is what Carl wrote. The alternative to synchronizing our lives with the mechanical movements of our solar system is to synchronize them with the divine plan, which could have very powerful and beneficial consequences, not only for ourselves as individuals, but also for the future of humanity. The question then arises how this is to be done. Carl, I'll leave it there. What were you meaning in this few sentences?
Well, I actually meant exactly what I was saying a little bit earlier. In other words, synchronizing our lives with a divine plan is what I mean is actually then synchronizing our lives with these consciousness changes that is being brought about by this underlying order, this underlying intelligence of the universe. And in other words, this these changing consciousness fields that are being created by the world tree, which is like the central creative principle of the universe. It's a structure that generates in pulses all of creation, really. So that is what I mean by synchronizing our lives with a divine plan. Is really then doing exactly this, as you said, that's something we can do ourselves, and that is what they did when they did these kind of ceremonies. They tried to access another dimension, and or in other words, the underlying intelligence of the universe that is bringing all evolution about. So that's what I mean by that. So the Mayan calendar is a calendar that describes these changes in the underlying invisible order of the universe. It is not a calendar of the planets or the astronomical cycles of our universe. Of our solar system.
Right.
It is a calendar that describes these underlying changes in the consciousness field of the cosmos.
Yes, I got you. This is not astrology. This is not astrology, although there's probably some connections. I would say it absolutely has something to do with astronomy, because we know many of our ancestors followed the sun, of course, but also novas and other celestial events that have taken place as landmarks, including, comets and so forth. But yet there is any strong evidence that would hold up in a peer review, anyway, of connecting these what our ancestors were talking about in the way that they can tap into this higher consciousness, such as these sacred ceremonies, and the external energy fields that I was talking about, Dr. Petters, Dr. Keaton, and so forth, about gamma rays and cosmic rays, and especially about the fourth dimension. My curiosity is, I'm just driven to find if there, you know, what, and I don't think it's going to connect in all ways, but what connections are there between what's being described now as the finding of a fourth dimension and what our ancestors described as that higher connection to kind of a spiritual consciousness. There may be some and maybe not. I don't know. Any further comment on that, Carl?
Well, we have some handles on these energy changes. In other words, there are like a global world tree that we can identify. There is a galactic world tree that we can identify, and we can sort of study changes of different kinds that are generated by these world trees, and among those changes are astronomical cycles and changes, and so there is we do have some handles on how to relate the underlying energy changes or underlying consciousness changes, and how to relate them to the more physical type of events that are happening in the cosmos. So that's just what I want to say about that. Yeah.
How do you pronounce the Mayan word for what you're calling the cosmic world tree? Hunabku?
Well, I would just say Hunabku, but I think they would understand if you say Hunabku, yes.
Okay.
And it really means like the one light, really.
The one light, which we've certainly heard through so many of our ancestors. Well, actually, this is a great segue. I have a feeling this is probably one of the subjects of discussion at the conference you went to in India. Please, if you would, tell us who was there, what was your experience, what in general was the thought, what was being discussed, if you would.
Yeah, okay. Well, it wasn't really like a conference. What happened in this case was that I made contact with Don Alejandro Osla, who's the head of the Council of Elders of the Maya, and he also the head of the Continental Council of Indigenous Peoples of the Americas, and so he's a 78-year-old man, and he's very well respected by his own people. And so I wanted to meet him, to interview him, and also I wanted him to meet Sri Bhagavan in India, who is a person who, through his Diksha movement, in other words, his transference of intelligent energies, you might say, through direct physical contact, that he's someone who set as his goal to help humanity to reach the enlightened state by the year 2012. So there was a clear correlation, you might say, in the interests here between the two men and also with myself. And so anyway, I arranged for Don Alejandro and his wife, Elizabeth Araujo, to go to India, and where I would meet them with a team and we would shoot a few interviews, and then we would also make the two men, Sri Bhagavan and Don Alejandro, meet. But it was also what was discussed. It was a fantastic opportunity to make an interview with Don Alejandro, because he's truly authoritative in this field. I mean, he's authorized to represent the Council of Elders, and which, you know, there's a lot of people claiming to be Mayan, but they have no authority to represent the Mayan view, but he does, and so we shot in two different interviews that we will make available through the internet, and one was about a 2 hour long thing talking about their views on the calendar and on the prophecies of their people, and the other one was an interview that dealt more with the spiritual ceremonies of the Maya and how they might relate to the to spiritual ceremonies as they may be performed in India and also in other places. So I think these are really truly unique documents that would be very valuable and clarify a lot of things to people. So that's what happened. It was a very good convergence of people, you might say. I should say also, sort of by accident, more or less, when we were in India, we also ran into Arvind Laszlo, who is, you know, he has written, I don't know, I think 69 books or something like that, and he's a very well-reputed, you might say, alternative scientist, a system theorist, but he's now also starting to see that you know, serious system theory will require that you take into account the approach of the year 2012, and saying, you know, there's all this mysticism around the year 2012, because the only reason that we have to focus on this is that there is an underlying plan, an underlying consciousness evolution that is leading up to it, and that's the it's in that particular plan that we are in right now. But it was this is the convergence that happened of people, and it was quite an amazing meeting, and it was really a privilege to meet Tata, who is Don Alejandro, who is really a very humble and very knowledgeable about his tradition, and mm-hmm. speaks very straight out of his heart.
Oh, I can't wait to get my hands on this interview.
Yeah, it is really something. Yes,
absolutely. But Crock, can you give us any more on the? You know, there's been the controversy about 2012 that it's more a symbolic than tangible. Can you give us just a little bit of what Alejandro was saying?
What he says. Well, one thing that he says, and I've been saying, what I think is very interesting, is that he rejected this December 21, 2012 date. And to me, that was really a surprise. I mean, I've been rejecting this date for years, for 15 years, and Ian Lungle would come up with the same thing. We both said, this is wrong, this is the wrong date, it's something that the archaeologists have made up.
Uh-huh.
And Don Alejandro says the same thing, this is a wrong date, it's something that the archaeologists have miscalculated. Now, It's so basically, Don Alejandro, he has his, I mean, he presents the traditional Mayan view of these things. And he did not want to say, sort of replace that date with any other specific date. No, there is, I would say there is, this is not, you know, if you ask me, then I would say, no, this is not symbolism. If people say that it's symbolism, they have not understood how the Mayan calendar works. They have not looked at the historical evidence or the evidence from biological evolution and so forth. But that's asking me. Don Alejandro, he mostly emphasized that people should not be afraid of the coming changes, and I think that was his main message in the interview. Yeah,
That people should not be afraid of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh boy, that's going to be so interesting. Oh, by the way, Carl, it just so happens that now certainly could be a coincidence, but as you can tell from the first half hour of our interview, this is kind of my mindset at this point anyway. It just so happens that cycle 24, which is to be 50% stronger than cycle 23, where we experienced the largest solar flare ever recorded. Its apex, the maximum, if you can envision a bell curve, the very top, just happens to be 2011-2012.
Yeah.
Anyway, just in my mind, I'm trying to extrapolate some connection between the sun and the calendar.
Yeah, I'm sure there are these kind of correlations. What I'm saying is simply that they ultimately go back to changes in this underlying field, the consciousness field of the universe. But then these changes, not only do they influence human consciousness, but they may also very well influence astronomical cycles, solar cycles, and so forth. But there is sort of a consciousness field that underlies it all. That's just what I wanted to say.
Pakistan and India, and now the Middle East, my God, Israel, Lebanon, it's looking really bad. Carl, does this fit in the Mayan calendar? Was this in some way predictable, not necessarily outlining who it was going to be, but that the energy could be set for either war or peace, or first war, then peace? Or what is your take on it?
Well, I was surprised by the rapid escalation that happened, sort of out of nothing, you might say.
Yeah.
It certainly was not something I predicted. So to begin with, I did not predict it, the world has been fairly peaceful for about half a year or so. And you might say I did predict something. You know, I did. If you go to the article that I wrote in when the fourth night began in November of 2005, I did predict that the first half of the coming night, the first half ended in May 27th, 28th. That first half would be essentially peaceful, and I think that has been very much true. But then I did expect that there would be more and more events, more stirring up in the world, coming until we come to the beginning of the fifth day, which will begin then November 24th of 2006. And so it fits into this general theme that we now will see a sequence of events that will stir up the world until the fifth day will come with sort of a new pulse that is bringing a strong new energy in. And so that's all I can say. I did not make any specific prediction saying that this would happen in the Middle East at this particular time. But I think we will see more events stirring up the present world order until we come to the fifth day, and then there is sort of a strong new energy coming in of the spiritual transformation, you might
say. Oh my goodness. Now, Carl, I don't know if you've already thought of this or had any forethought, but because you are in Sweden, it just so happens, Carl, that November is the time of our elections. It is so prolific that this election will be so profound that it would be the shift, if it was to go a certain way, it would be the end of the Bush regime and the beginning of something different.
Yeah.
So wouldn't that be interesting if we see in November that the Republicans are voted out for the most part, and the Democrats, and I don't mean to frame this in a political term, I'm just saying that well, I guess I am saying it's political. I don't know how to dig myself out of this one, Carl, but it wouldn't it be interesting to see if there was now this is something we could all agree on, that if a big shift was to occur politically in November, in other words,
yep.
the Senate
yep.
and the Congress could be taken over by the other party.
Yeah. Well, that seems quite plausible, actually. I would say so. Americans are really faced with the big political decisions in the time ahead. That is for sure. And maybe it is the right for some kind of, it seems very plausible that if there would be such a change, it's good for me to be informed about it. Yeah.
Excellent. And also, Carl, I'll say this on air for the first time ever. I will also not only be looking at the political arena and that energy, but I'm going to be looking in the skies as well. And wouldn't it be interesting if something, if we had a surge of some type, obviously I'm talking about the sun, or gamma ray bursts, in November as well.
Yeah.
That would be fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can't separate anything out of the big structure of the universe. You can't say, you can't completely avoid being political, because even political is very much indeed is something that is related to this underlying consciousness evolution. And as well as the other phenomena you're talking about, it's no way that you would be able to not be political in a kind of with the kind of themes that you want to discuss and bring up here.
Pakistan and India, is the scenario set to possibly see a single strike, nuclear single strike between Pakistan and India?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't know.
The guy from India that was there, and I don't know if you got into politics at all. There probably you did not. Although I've had mine guest on, and they don't describe it as politics, but they talk about, you know, freedom and the loss of freedom or land and so forth.
Yeah.
So maybe did the people from India have anything to say about the atmosphere in their country?
No, but there is, you know, when it comes to India and Pakistan, there's all this underlying tension, you might say, and it all goes back to the way that Pakistan was formed in 1948 or 47, 48, and domain of India, and so it's always there as some kind of an underlying tension, but nobody is able to tell whether it will erupt or not.
Yeah.
I thought that it had been sort of calming down in the recent half year or so, but maybe something is going on also there at this point. I don't know.
All right, Carl, we're out of time, and it was a pleasure as always. Folks, I want to direct you towards Carl's site. You can get all his information, his books, his articles. He's got charts up there, great stuff that will help you understand the Mayan calendar, also understand Carl as well. His website is Kalaman.com. That's his last name, and it's Kalaman.com, and we certainly support him there. Carl, best wishes to you, and I look forward to having you on again soon.
Thank you.
Take care, my friend.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, whew, I always like this. The live from Sweden, folks, Carl Johan Kalaman, author of Solving the Greatest Mystery of Our Time, The Mayan Calendar, and the Mayan calendar and the transition of consciousness. I'm not giving up. I cannot help but think there is a connection between the energy fields that Carl is talking about, more the spiritual consciousness kind of thing, and the celestial energies, such as gamma rays, cosmic rays, magnetic fields, gravity fields for that matter, and its connection, kind of as a facilitator to our transition. Something to think about over the weekend. This is Mitch Batras, Earth Changes TV Radio Hour. Have a great weekend, and see you on the other side with more scientists and those scholars who study ancient texts. Take care. Bye-bye. Thank you.